This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, May 31st, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. The president has threatened to launch a new 5% tariff on all goods from Mexico starting mid-June. Cato's Simon Lester, a trade policy analyst, details what that means for U.S. consumers, U.S. manufacturers, and other national governments that may now be thinking twice about launching new trade agreements with the United States. Given the president's threat to lay 5% tariffs on every product that comes from Mexico, how does this complicate the trading relationships that the U.S. has in its yet-to-be-passed-into-law USMCA, the free trade agreement among Mexico, the United States, and Canada?
Well, with all of the U.S. trading relationships right now, the Trump administration is coming off as an unreliable partner. They promise one thing, and then they don't follow through on it. So, look, NAFTA, the core of NAFTA is eliminating all tariffs on trade between three countries. If the U.S. is just going to impose tariffs despite those obligations whenever it wants, it's not clear why any other government would want to be in a trade agreement with us and have a trade relationship with us. You know, they just can't rely on the commitments that the Trump administration is making. And so right now we're in the process of we've renegotiated NAFTA and we might then implement it as this new USMCA. And in each country, there's this sort of domestic political process to ratify it. And, you know, the U.S. congressional process is difficult, and we can get to that if you want. But Mexico still has to pass to implement USMCA through its Congress. And if it turns out that the United States is going to be imposing tariffs regardless of the USMCA, it's not clear to me why they would bother passing the USMCA. What does it get them? Presumably, it would get them lower tariffs, but apparently it doesn't. So it's not clear how much value a trade agreement has when one of the parties is going to impose tariffs whenever they feel like it.
So you mentioned other countries watching this unfold. What's hanging out there right now in terms of potential trade agreements that the United States might be engaging in that might give these other countries pause with respect to making agreements with the United States?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, talk about potential trading partners out there. There are some talks with Japan that are somewhat advanced because U.S. and Japan already talked about trade as part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That there's preliminary talks going on with the European Union. There's discussions of, well, maybe we'll have a trade agreement with the Philippines, or now I'm hearing Switzerland. But I think what these actions tell all of the U.S. trading partners is the Trump administration really isn't that serious about trade liberalizing. They apply tariffs for such a wide range of reasons that, as you know, we talked about just in the previous question, it's just not clear what the value of a trade agreement is. You know, what would Japan or the EU get out of a trade agreement with the United States when at any moment, for such a wide range of reasons, the United States might just impose tariffs again. So it sort of, it sends a message to trading partners that this just isn't an exercise worth going through. And maybe they're better off just waiting till there's some future administration who's serious about actually liberalizing trade and taking on these, you know, international obligations.
What is the statutory authority? I mean, dare I even ask, what's the statutory authority that the president is relying on here?
Well, you know, before the Trump administration came into office, there was an expert, Gary Huffbauer, under a think tank, who went through the whole list of statutes that that the Trump administration might use if it wanted to impose tariffs. And boy, there were a lot of them out there, and it kind of surprised a lot of us. This one is called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and it sort of originates in something called the Trading with the Enemy Act from the 1910s, I think. And basically, it gives the president broad authority to take action against what he considers a national emergency. It's used quite a lot, but it's really for sanctions, for dealing with bad actors. So, you know, there's somebody in Russia or South Sudan who's doing some awful thing. So you freeze their assets. You know, that's how it's normally used. It hasn't been used in this way for tariffs and for trade policy. There's one instance under the Trading with the Enemy Act where President Nixon imposed a 10% surcharge. So that's the only real precedent here. The statute is very broad. I've sort of puzzled over it last night and this morning. seems to me it's broad enough that, you know, there's at least a credible argument that the president can do this. It would probably get challenged in court. I don't know how the courts would rule on it. The statute doesn't explicitly mention the possibility of tariffs, but it uses a lot of terms like regulate and prohibit importation or exportation. So it does give broad authority. Interestingly, this statute explicitly gives Congress the ability to use a joint resolution to terminate the president's actions. So look, if Congress ever wants to step up here and do something about what you know, Trump's approach to trade policy, this is an opportunity for them to do it. And, you know, certainly we'll take a look at what members of Congress have to say about these actions. I mean, I've seen a sort of mix of reactions so far. As we get closer to actual implementation of these tariffs, maybe enough people in Congress will be motivated to say, all right, enough is enough. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Okay. The president has pegged this to the flows of migrants crossing into the U.S. from Mexico. This is an attempt essentially to make this these migrant flows Mexico's problem. Has any country solved this problem effectively?
Yeah, I mean, immigration, these sort of migration problems are such a challenge for everybody, and there are no easy answers out there. Trump wants there to be an easy answer, which is we have this economic leverage and you're going to do what we want. And, you know, just sort of put it in Mexico's court to figure it out. But it's just not clear how Mexico can figure this out. You know, what could they possibly do here to satisfy the Trump administration? So, you know, the Trump administration has put themselves in a really difficult position. It's going to be they're going to have to go through with it and impose the tariffs, or they're going to have to come up with a way out of it. You know, if it turns out that Mexico just can't do anything here, then they have to either pretend that Mexico did something and then, you know, pull back on the tariffs, or they actually have to impose the tariffs and deal with the consequences. And there are going to be serious consequences because we're starting at 5%, but then they're going to ratchet their way up from 10 to 15 to 20 to 25% tariffs on all Mexican imports. So, you know, when we talk about Mexican imports, people like to joke about avocados as being a big deal. And sure, they are to some people. But I think cars and car parts is the bigger one. If we see 25% tariffs on all imports of automobiles and automobile parts from Mexico, consumers are really going to notice that. The auto industry is really going to suffer. So you know, the Trump is painting this as about migration. He also today in a tweet mentioned drugs. It's not clear how his tariffs can do all these things for him. And so either they're going to have to find a way to back down or deal with the consequences. Maybe the markets will help him deal with the consequences. Maybe markets will show him that this just doesn't work and he's got to find a way out. But, you know, he's a true believer in tariffs. He's going down with the ship on that one.
And we need to, again, reiterate, as we always do, that a lot of the things that the U.S. imports, about half of the value of stuff that the U.S. imports, is stuff that Americans use to make other stuff, often for export. So with respect to Mexico specifically, how much of that 5% tariff will be applied to goods that American manufacturers need?
I saw an estimate today, and, you know, I haven't had a chance to double check this, that it's 50%. You know, half of this stuff is going directly to consumers, presumably the avocados, although I suppose we could import it here and make guacamole. But then things like car parts. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, parts that are brought in from Mexico to then assemble cars here in the United States. And so that means for automobile producers here, you know, their costs are going up significantly. So yeah, I mean, we're going to feel it both ways. Consumers are going to feel it. Businesses are going to feel it. It would be nice if the combined effect of that were enough to, you know, finally kind of put a stop to this tariff nonsense. But we'll see.
Simon Lester is a trade policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.